Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Yes. Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away. Get away from my wife with that.
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a capaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Yahoo Sports Betting Analyst. Because that's a job now. Ben Fox, careful, reports one bettor at BetMGM wagered $90,000 on the Bills money line, -2,000 versus the Saints. Bills are 16.5-point favorites. The bet would pay $4,500. I mean, $4,500 that's a heck of a payday. That's more than I've ever won on any one single bet or any of my fancy four or five leg parlays or anything. If I got one problem. I don't have access to $90,000. I mean, I guess I could take a vacuum to my 401k or something and maybe just do that. Good luck explaining that to your wife when something happens to... I'll stop. Let's bring Sal Capaccio in now on the Western Hotline. Sal, $90,000 on the money line. What are we doing here?
That's when you have so much money you don't know what to do with it.
Right.
You just do that so you can have something to watch and root for.
I don't know.
I guess because honestly, that's a nice payday if you get your $4,500, but... at the risk of $90,000 is quite ridiculous.
And if you have $90,000 that you're comfortable wagering in that way, how big a deal is it to pocket the $4,500, right? I mean, isn't that just probably walking around money if you have the 90 grand to risk to begin with? I mean, I the whole thing, whatever, to each their own. I mean, I don't know. I lose most of my bets because I like the, to get the odds juiced up so that I can envision buying a really nice Gibson Les Paul with the winnings. And so far, that's not happened. So, far be it for me to judge, but that just seems like a pretty odd thing to bother doing. Anyway, how are you? What was the story out at One Bills Drive today?
It's interesting. The story is something I just wrote about, put it at WGR550.com, but also what we potted about today. Matt Bove and I, we potted.
That works.
And Max Harrison is the story, all right? But really, it's the offshoot of the story of what Sean McDermott said about Max Harrison is the story. And then going out to practice and looking at Max Harrison is the story. And it all comes together. What I mean is this. So he is eligible to return to practice next week, okay? So today, before practice, our buddy Matt Perino, asked Sean about Max Harrison's status, progress, and update. And, hey, what's the, for next week? And, he wouldn't say, next week if they would activate him or not. But he did say, hey, he's, moving in the right direction, making progress. And then he said, you have to remember, and this is something I've said to you guys and everybody, which is the guy hasn't practiced in 2 months, right? I mean, it's not like he just walks out of the couch and starts doing everything right away. And
right.
He's going to be great at it. And he said, you have to remember that, he hasn't, it's been a while here since he's done everything. He said the physical part, and also the mental part, the playbook. He said, and then he went on, and I don't have the exact quote in front of me. You can read it. But basically he said, he used the word if.
Yeah, when/if. Yeah, right.
Okay. So that raised a lot of alarm bells with people. Then we go out to, and I'll get back to that in a second. So then we go out to practice. He's actually out in practice. We didn't know he was going to be. He's out there with a trainer off to the side. I'm like, oh, Max Harrison's out here. So we all get video. I have video of him. I got it in my story on the website. I got it at my X feed, Sal Sports. And he's doing a lot of, what I think looks good. He looks smooth. But he's got this really big brace on his right knee.
Yep.
So I put that video out. And a lot of fans are like, oh, my God, look at that brace. It's so big. That's terrible. Like, I looked at it the other way. I'm like, I think he looked good, actually, the things he was doing. Like, yeah, he's got a brace on, but a lot of guys wear braces. It's a lot of precaution with braces. You don't want to re-injure it. You want to make sure it's stable. But actually, I thought he looked good the way he was moving, Bulldog, to be honest with you. So I kind of took it a little bit different. And I also think that the discussion about what McDermott said, and Matt and I had a real good discussion about this, which is, like, how concerning is it that he used the word if? Now, to me, and I've covered this coach long enough since he's been here, and you know this about how Sean talks. He just doesn't put himself in boxes. He doesn't want to paint himself in corners. He doesn't want to have expectations that can't be met. So he even said, I think we need to lower the expectations when it comes to Max Harrison and when it comes to all this. So I don't take it as, oh, my God, it's some injury. He's not going to play this year. Is it possible that because of Dorian Strong's development, because they still have Jamarcus Ingram, because they still have Dane Jackson, they say, you know what? In another month, we may say we want this kid to have a full year of rehab. Yeah, and that would suck. I totally get that. I don't think he was telling us that today, though. What I think he was telling us was, hey, let's see where this goes.
He's right. He's still not back. Really, is what he's telling you. Right. He's got a ways to go.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And like, but I don't think he's saying he's not going to come back. Is my point.
Yep.
I don't take the if meaning like, well, I just want you guys to know that he might not play this year. Maybe, I guess that is kind of what he's saying, but I didn't take it as, oh, my God, there's some sort of setback or it's worse than people, originally thought.
Yeah, I get all that. My read was similar when because I saw the comment and some of the, confusion or concern about the comment. And I think, I'm with you. You've been there with him all along, McDermott, I mean, and I think he's just being careful. He doesn't, because if he says when, he's putting an expectation on it that is definitely going to happen. And at this point, I don't think it would even be medically right to do that. You don't know what's going to happen once he starts doing this. If he's ramping up and doing more, you don't know how that's going to go. So you got to wait.
100% right. That's what I think. So there was a lot of that. Like, I think that if it wasn't going well, we wouldn't see him out there doing the things we saw today even. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's a week away from being eligible to be on the practice field. I think it's totally in the window that he doesn't get, put on practice field next week. I don't know. Like, I think that's very possible that they still wait a few more weeks, and then we'll see where it is. You get to the end of the year, and also you could say, and it could be right, where maybe you get to around Thanksgiving. Let's just say we're still there, and like, he hasn't played, he hasn't practiced. And maybe the Bills say, you know what, it's been this long, let's just let this go and give him even more time. Here's another possibility. I brought this up on the pod. They did this with Isaiah Hodgins a couple years ago, which is he was on IR, and then he came back like mid-late year to practice, but he never got activated. They just wanted to get him work. And eventually he was, this would be the same player because Max the first round pick, obviously. But like, you also could have that happen where he doesn't play. So possibility that he couldn't play, that he doesn't play this year? No, I'm not doing that. That's possible. I just think we all need to kind of take a step back here, let this play out a little bit and see where the kid is after another couple of weeks and what the team wants to do.
My observation would be that seeing him in that brace today, I'd be stunned if he was activated for practice next week. Like, what I saw today, I don't disagree that he's moving well in the brace, but a brace of that magnitude, to me, tells me it's going to be a little bit before they activate him. Now, mechanically, how does all that work? Like, once they decide, if they decide, let's make sure we include if they decide he's ready to practice, what is the timeline? Like, is there a window where then he has to be activated? Like, how does that go?
Yes. So they have the ability to say when they choose to put him on the practice field. That doesn't have to be next week. It could be the week after. It could be the month, whatever. Once he steps on the practice field, he now becomes – he already is counting as one of their IR-designated return guys because you get eight. But remember, they did that when they put him on because that was a special designation for two people on cutdown day. He was one of them. So he doesn't count against that anymore. He's one guy who already counts. So once they put him on the practice field, they have 21 days to put him on the active roster. If they do not do that within that 21 days, he is out for the year on injured reserve.
Gotcha.
So whatever the time period is, you get that plus 3 weeks. Whatever time period is that he actually goes from now till, you know, he actually starts practice, you get three more weeks before you actually have to put him on the team. And, you know, that gives him time to ramp up and do everything. So if I'm looking at this, like, how would the Bills view it? You want to get a timeline from medical staff of when do you think he might be available to actually, like, contribute and play and practice and possibly play in a game. And then you move 3 weeks back from that probably.
Right.
And say that's when you think you probably want to put him on the practice field.
Right. And so what I'm sitting here saying to you is that it would surprise me if that's next week. It could be. They're allowed to do it, but I don't know. Right. We'll see where it all goes. But, you know, I think the reason, Sal, this sort of dovetails into something I know you indicated this morning you were talking about on maybe the previous episode of It's Always Game Day in Buffalo with Matt, and that's Landon Jackson not getting a jersey yet. There's the possibility that TJ Sanders, once Larry Ogunjobi is cleared to come back in a couple more weeks, that maybe Sanders is an odd man out, in which case you've got two guys of your top three picks who aren't playing just because of numbers and therefore like quality and what they offer, and then you've got the injury. But the bottom line is a team in a Super Bowl winning window has their first, second, and third round picks not dressing for games. That's tough. I mean, again, the injury is completely out of your control, but man, I think you'd like to be getting contributions from those guys while you're in the window you're in.
I think every team would love to get contributions from their team from guys they draft within the first three picks. So obviously Harrison's a different boat, but just on Sanders, right. if he doesn't get a game day jersey once Ogunjobi comes back, we know Landon Jackson isn't, then you look at it and go, man, we're not getting anything from these guys. But I'll say what I said in the pod and what I said this morning, which is, you're also not the New Orleans Saints, right? With all due respect to them coming down. Or the Carolina Panthers, which is like you have a better roster than that. I'll go back to what is the that it's tough. It's tough to swallow, but I want to ask people, like, who are they supposed to play over? You know what I mean? Like
right.
The goal with those guys when you're in a Super Bowl window is to add depth to the roster. The reason the Bills going into the offseason, I think we all agreed. The Bills had one starting spot open, corner. That was it. They didn't have another starting spot open. They do have depth spots open. So it's not like you were drafting second and third round picks to start on your team. From there, it becomes about depth. And I just don't think it's super egregious if you, for a third round pick right now, to not be getting a jersey, because I don't know who he's supposed to play over. To me, that's a sign of a strong roster.
I respect that point. I feel like maybe I want it both ways though, because what it becomes more, maybe here we go, we're going to circle back to the morning after the draft. Could I not have drafted another position that could be helping me at receiver or something? Who knows, something else, but you're right. Like, what Landon Jackson isn't playing and the horizon doesn't look promising for that because Michael Hoyt's coming back. Would you rather not have Michael Hoyt so Landon Jackson can play? I don't want to sign for that. I like Michael Hoyt being on this team. I'm sad he's missing these first six games. So, you know, in the end, I think I have to end up on your side. It's just tough when you've got, you know, highly drafted guys first 2 days of the draft and they can't even get on the field. I mean, forget about providing depth. They're just eating up a roster spot, really.
I mean, well, and we don't know about Sanders right now. They could decide to not
draft Ogunjobi,
right? I mean, we're projecting. They could not draft, you know, Larry Ogunjobi in that scenario. I think that if you're in a Super Bowl window, then you probably might want to expect less from those guys, to be honest with you, not more. The teams that want to expect more from those guys are the teams, I think, that aren't as good. By the way, I did some numbers last week. Now, I don't know, like, if there's injuries involved with some of these guys, it could very well be. But
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Of the 38 third-round picks, this includes Landon Jackson, out of the 38 third-round picks, 11 did not play in their first two games with their teams. I mean, I think that's pretty surprising to a lot of people, right?
Mm-hmm.
11 players were inactive their first two games who were third-round picks out of 38. Four more were inactive for one of the first two games. That's 15 of 38 that didn't see a game day jersey in at least one of their two games. So I just think sometimes we rush a little bit about what mm-hmm. we expect.
Yeah. On Jackson, McDermott did say he was close to getting a jersey for the Miami game, if I'm not mistaken. And I feel like right now, while Hoyt is still out, the guy that might be the lowest on the pecking order would be Javon Solomon. But the problem there, I think, is he's on special teams. I don't know if he's referred to as a core special teamer, but you'd have to trust that Jackson can give you that, too, if you wanted to give him a whirl against the Saints. And I'm not sure that he can.
Yeah, that's right. I agree with that. I think the issue may be more of, though, right now, Javon Solomon's providing you a little bit more of a pass rush, too, because you are without Hoyt, obviously, and you're without Ed Oliver. Javon Solomon's been playing inside a little bit on passing downs. He's versatile. You're not doing that with Landon Jackson, right? So right now, Javon Solomon's kind of providing the Michael Hoyt role, to be honest with you, whereas they're going to move him around and do some different things. You need that guy. So let's just say when Hoyt comes back, now do you need – and Ed Oliver's is healthy. Do you need Javon Solomon? Now, if the answer to that is, you know what, now I can put Landon Jackson on the field and he can provide me, and now I'm using my third-round pick. That's fine. Are you waiving Javon Solomon? And if you do, another team can claim him. There are a lot of consequences here of trying to figure this all out.
Yeah, no doubt. Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline with us. Funny enough, someone called me about this Landon Jackson thing earlier, and right as I was finishing up the call, we took a break, and then the injury report dropped, and there's A.J. Epinesa, a defensive end. Not a guy that I think is in danger of losing his spot, but if he's got a pec injury, he was limited today. I assume that means that happened at practice because it wasn't mentioned ahead of time. That bears watching, and maybe that's Landon Jackson's way in.
That's right. It would probably be an injury to somebody, unfortunately, for him to, you know, start playing. Now, as far as Epinesa is concerned, yeah, you're right. It could very well have been at practice today. That's generally a lot of times how this goes. But there have been plenty of times, as you know, Bulldog, where McDermott says a guy isn't practicing and then he does, right? You're like, wait a minute, what happened? Well, maybe more information came out after he met with us, right? Like something might have happened. Maybe AJ just wasn't feeling right, and Sean didn't know that or hadn't spoken to the trainers about that, and he went to him before practice, and they said, hey, let's just lay off you today. That's possible, too. So I don't want to fully assume that it just happened today, but generally that is the case when we don't know, and especially coming off a long weekend where Sean probably would have a lot more information for that to happen, that's quite possible. So let's see tomorrow. If AJ Epinesa doesn't practice tomorrow with a pec injury, then we know something happened today, and that becomes like an Ed Oliver situation from a couple weeks ago.
Right. Speaking of Oliver and Milano, is there any reading of the tea leaves to be done on how that sounds at this point?
I think it sounds encouraging on both. The way that Sean talked about them, they're progressing. We'll see how the week goes. We'll see how, you know, where they are. And I think he said we'll take it day by day or something like that. So he didn't call them day to day, but he said we'll take it day by day. And then there's Spencer Brown as well, by the way, who missed practice today because of a calf injury. But he was on One Bills Live today.
I heard that too.
Yep. He basically said that it was something that happened during the game, but he played through it, and he thinks he'll be good for for Sunday. I think it's entirely possible they could have all three of those players play on Sunday, but you could also say maybe you give Oliver and or Milano you know, another week, and that could be possible too. But I don't think there's anything concerning long-term on any of them, especially considering neither Milano nor Ed Oliver went on IR.
Right. Sal, how much, if at all, of a challenge does being a 16.5 point favorite at home present? Does McDermott have to work a little extra hard to get everyone's attention this week?
He might. I think maybe a few years ago, if that was the case, the answer would be yes there. I just think that this team has been super consistent, and they generally pound the teams they're supposed to pound, right? Bulldog, has it happened where they laid an egg in Jacksonville 3 years ago? Yes. You know, we went down there and, you know, that was a bad game, right? But they generally beat up the teams they're supposed to beat up. Even last week, even though it was kind of more of a struggle, they still won by double digits. They were a 12-point favorite. But I'm talking about when Jacksonville came here, Tennessee came here, and Houston came here, and Washington came here. Like, these teams were heavy underdogs, and the Bills just ran them out of Highmark Stadium. So I think they're generally very consistent in their approach. They have a veteran team that understands why that's important to be consistent. So I don't think you have to kind of, you know, guard against that necessarily, but you still want to make sure you're doing everything right throughout the week to make sure they understand that this is an NFL football game, and these guys are coming here after a really tough loss, and they can throw anything at you because they are an underdog and they don't care. You know, they just want to try and fix that.
Tight one for the Yanks last night, huh?
I mean, yeah, and listen, it was a great way to end the game. Max and I were watching at the end and kind of going crazy and waking Yana up and all that kind of stuff, right? But listen, they need to sweep the White Sox. They should not be in that situation. They have to sweep the White Sox. It's one of the worst teams in baseball. But they did what the Blue Jays had done for a while, which is come back and win in late-inning games. And now the Blue Jays aren't having that magic pixie dust over the last couple of weeks. And look what's happening. It's a one-game lead. It's really a two-game lead, though. The Yankees have to beat them out because the Blue Jays have the head-to-head. Right. Because, as you know, no longer is the one-game playoff when teams are tied.
Who's going? Do you know who's going tonight? Are you dialed in?
Ooh, I don't.
Okay.
I didn't take a look at that.
Sorry, it's okay. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I could have just as easily looked. I just was curious because I was watching Tigers Guardians last night during the intermissions of the stream of the Sabres preseason game, and I don't know if you saw or even read what happened. Like, Skubal was cruising, and they scored three runs in the fifth, I think, without a ball leaving the infield. To take a lead. They were down. Cleveland is just, speaking of magic pixie dust, they've got it right now. That has been incredible. It was 12.5 games less than a month ago. It was 15.5 games in July. If Cleveland, who now has the lead in the division, they overtook Detroit with the win last night. If they finish that off, it becomes the new biggest lead overcome, biggest deficit overcome, tying the Boston Braves in 1914 and the 78 Red Sox, who got caught by the Yankees, but with a, I think, 15-game lead. It was 15.5, so it would set a new mark for biggest deficit overcome. That's been incredible to watch.
I think that's amazing. And the fact that not only did they lose the division lead and they could lose the division, they might not make the playoffs is unbelievable, really, yep. Thinking about where the Tigers were, how good they were. I mean, I remember a couple months ago, I remember going out to, like, Bill's mini camp and Bill's training camp and talking to people, baseball people, about, yeah, my God, the Tigers, you don't want to run into them. No, they could win this World Series. It's amazing. And now look at what's happening with them. And Skubal, that play, he tries to flip it through his legs, right? You saw that. He's doing his best long-snapping impression. But that's also that's Guardians baseball right there. The Guardians are a station-to-station athletic team. Like, that's kind of how they're built, right? They're not gonna pound you with home runs all the time. That's kind of the Yankees game, what they want to do. So it's super interesting to watch that play out.
Thanks a lot for this, Sal. We'll catch up with you tomorrow, man.
All right, you got it, buddy. And I hate saying this, but I'll be rooting for your Red Sox tonight.
Okay, I can live with that. There's Sal on the Western Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? All right, we'll hit a timeout here. Phone lines are open. 803-0550 is the number if you want to get in on the conversation. Anything we talked about with Sal, the roster management here, Landon Jackson, TJ Sanders, who, by the way, has been active for these games so far. are. It's just a question of whether he will continue to be when Ogunjobi comes off of the suspended list. Spent some time on the wide receivers, pass catchers. We'll reload that conversation when we get back after this timeout. Again, you want to join in? Happy to have you at 803-0550. Mike Shope is away today, along with Zach Jones. I'm the Bulldog, and you are listening to WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.